Again, welcome to the Ray Lytle Show. I am your host, Ray Lytle. Along with me, the one and only Tommy. Hey, Tommy.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Oh, my God. Do we have a show this week? Of course, we're talking about the giant orange elephant in the room. We will get to Trump. And all
the talking Cheeto?
We'll get to all of the Trumpness from this week. It's the talking Cheeto. the talking giant Cheeto. We'll discuss Trump. But first, Tommy, it's a very dangerous time. There are assault alligators in Florida.
I know.
Terrible.
And they struck a child, Ray.
And I don't know about you, but if a bad guy with an assault alligator comes into my house, then by God, I need a salt alligator in my house to protect me from that bad guy. Because the only thing that can stop an assault alligator, Tommy, or a bad guy with an assault alligator,
is a good guy with an assault alligator, Ray.
Well, a good guy with an assault hippopotamus, because they're actually more dangerous than an alligator.
Oh,
but that's all right. But well, yeah, a good guy with an assault alligator can also get the job done. Boy, how about that? We start with that story in. Now, let me get this right, and I don't know if you know everything about it or not. I know I certainly don't, but. So, in Disney World, there's a family, all right?
Yes.
And they're on vacation in Disney World, and somehow...
I think it's like the Disney Resort.
Disney owns a bunch of resorts down there. And so, the family's there vacationing, and an alligator shows up and... grabs like a little, how old was the kid? Like 2 years old?
2 years old, right.
I mean, who the hell's, who's got a 2 year old? Just,
Well, here's what's getting me. And I'm torn on both occasions, on both issues here. Some people are complaining that there was only a no swimming sign at this lake. Now, I have relatives in Florida. I have lived in Florida before. Alligators are all over Florida. People should realize this.
Well, yeah.
At 9 o'clock at night, they're watching a movie, supposedly outside of their resort on this beach.
So the
resort... kind of like the movies at the park kind of deal.
So the resort was showing a movie.
Yeah, kind of like the movies at the park that they do in Springfield, you know?
Yeah.
So it's an outdoor thing.
Oh, if only somebody could get eaten by an alligator here. Boy.
So
that would give the news channel
there.
Something to talk about. Yes. So the family's out there. Yes. They're watching the movie.
They're watching the movie. You know, you've been to Florida. It's hot this time of year.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they thought around 9 o'clock at night to let a 2-year-old toddler wade a foot deep of water in this lagoon.
And was he by himself?
The parents were close by because the parents tried to fight this. The father, I know, tried to fight this alligator off. But, you know, he was wading in the water, and the alligator snatched him and drug him under.
I mean, it's the craziest story. I mean, for starters, Disney's going to get sued. I mean, they're going to get the hell. They really are going to get the hell sued out of them. There are things that come into question. For example, as a parent, I did not let my child, I didn't let her wade in the bathtub at 2 years old, let alone go into a lagoon in Florida where there could be alligators. And if you're Disney, how in the hell do you have alligators in your lagoon?
Well, Ray, they're all over. I mean, I've had relatives.
I know, but you're Disney. You are a multi-billion dollar corporation.
You have built your giant multi-billion dollar theme park on an old swamp.
And here's the thing. They have built their reputation, all right? They have built their reputation on fun and safety. How in the hell do you not do checks for things like alligators? I mean, I understand it's rough. And I know I've been to Florida, and they do warn you about things like that. But I understand if they were, like, in a swamp or if they're in a swampy area. But in Orlando... in the middle of a Disney resort, a family does feel safe. They feel very safe. And now, all of a sudden, here's an alligator living on the, you know, living in the swamp in the Disney complex. How is Disney not prepared for this?
Ray, they caught three of them out of that same lagoon today and cut them all open searching for the toddler before they found the body this afternoon.
So, in other words, they knew
they
there were alligators
there.
They
didn't find it inside of a gator that I've heard. They did find it. There are many of them because all these waterways that Disney has leads into other waterways.
Oh, so they all connect. Oh, you see. Yeah,
they all
connect. Oh, this
so,
is a lawsuit.
They're saying that there's no way they can keep these out. And I understand.
Oh, yeah.
We had one in a swimming pool, and we lived 2 miles from the nearest pond.
I understand that. But if you're Disney, put up a fence. I mean, and don't be showing movies. I mean, I just can't.
Oh, it'll be settled, Ray.
They're not going to let this hit the courts. How did they not know this would eventually happen?
That would destroy family fun. No, they're going to settle this very quickly. I wouldn't be surprised right now if there's already people, they're picking a child out of animatronics right now saying, hey, here's $6 million and here's this small child. Take it with you.
Here, take the child. That's horrible. Disney's obviously they are liable for they have a liability insurance and all these things. They're going to pay out the you know what for this, and it's sad. And these parents are I'm sure they're horrified and sad. But at the same time, people.
Well, they're from Nebraska.
Why are you letting your kid wade in the water at 2 years old?
That my question is, it's 9 o'clock at night. I am not going to let my 2 year old into a pond, not just because there might be alligators, but because there might be a drop off. It's starting to get 9 o'clock. It's starting to get dark. You can't see what's in the water.
2 year old,
broken glass, a stick.
I'm telling you, at two, my daughter didn't even go into the bathtub alone.
Exactly. I mean, they
fall. It's just not going to happen at 2 years old.
They fall in a deep, a deep hole, and the next thing you know, wow, I've lost my child. But
yeah,
here's this family from Nebraska. They've spent a lot of money to stay at these resorts.
Oh, yeah, probably saved up. I don't know how many other kids they have.
Exactly. And they went there for the memories, and boy, did they get one. And it's not one you're ever going to want.
And by
this one's going to involve therapy.
The tragedy is so immense. I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine how they feel. I can't imagine their guilt. I can't imagine their anger. I can't imagine any of it. All I know is that, my God, people, we've got to be smarter. It's like the people at the zoo. Remember the zoo when the kid fell into the gorilla cage? We can only blame the entity so much. At some point, we got to get the parents watch your kids. That being said, boy, the zoo thing. It was easier to be mad at the parents with the zoo. With the gorilla kid, because the gorilla died, not the kid. It's hard to be mad at the parents in Orlando because the kid did die. It is tragic, and it does make you, as soon as you hear a story like this, it makes you want to just hug your own child. Mine is of the age where she's sickened by the thought of hugging me. But still, you just want to hug your child when you hear stories like this because it is tragic. I mean, I cannot imagine losing a child, how much it would hurt and I feel bad. And anyway, we wanted to start with that. Now, there's a lot of other things. Speaking of tragedy, the shooting in Orlando was we were going to start with that. We decided not to because let's start with something.
Everybody started with that. I mean,
we want to ramp up. We're ramping up.
I mean, we're going to talk about it, but everybody's let off with this. This is the biggest news this month, this year so far. It's terrible.
The thing that gets me is the false narratives, all right, they start immediately after this happened, okay? It really does. I mean, I have seen people complain about, we need to stop these immigrants from coming into this country. Now, we all know full well, this guy was born in the United States. They have said it over and over and over and over again. The guy was born in the USA. He wasn't even an immigrant. His parents were an immigrant. He was not. So let's throw that right out there, for starters. Secondly, I know that there are people saying, as soon as this happened, they wanted to take our guns. No, that's wrong. That is wrong. As soon as this happened, immediately people on the right started saying, here they come for our guns. Here they come for our guns. You were expecting them to want to take your guns. You wanted them to take your guns because that way you have something to complain about and you get the tie. I've come to this conclusion. And you know, I'm a pro Second Amendment guy. I'm a pro gun guy. And I'll give you my thoughts on assault weapons and stuff later on. You know how I feel, Tommy. I know how you feel. We feel much the same way. But there are people out there, all right? There are people out there that have made up tyranny in their mind. They have it in their mind. They are convinced that their narrative of all Democrats, all liberals want to take our guns is true. And it's not. There has never, ever been anything proposed by any liberal during the Obama term that says that the United States government is going to go to anyone's house and take their guns. It does not exist. It never has. It never will. He's never, ever said he wants to go to your home and take your guns. We are gun supporters. Are you in fear of President Barack Obama coming to your house, knocking on the door and saying, listen, Tommy, I need to get your handguns. I need to get your machine. I need to get your rifles.
We're not supposed to talk about my machine gun.
I need to get your rifles, and I want to get all your weapons. It's not going to happen. It's never happened. It is not going to happen. There are people there in this country who, it's almost like they're frothing at the mouth, going, "Oh, I hope there's another shooting so I can start my narrative of this is a false flag operation." Hoping to get our guns. And I'm talking about people like Alex Jones, who within an hour of the shooting had a video out on the internet saying, this is another false flag operation. I will tell you about it. Make sure to tune into my show. You know, like using this for his own benefit and starting this false narrative. All liberals want to come steal our guns.
Now, here's why I think that they're not going, that it's impossible for them to do that.
They don't want to. I'll tell you, the first thing is because they don't want to.
Even let's just say for a moment, he was sitting in a back room and he decided that, yeah, I would love to do this, but we have a volunteer army.
Yes.
An all-volunteer army who are our friends, our sons, our daughters.
Yeah. What are you expecting?
Are they going to come door to door and say, hey,
and take guns from their family members and friends and neighbors?
I'm going to take this from you. Yeah. No, they're not.
Now, trust me. Don't get me wrong. There are liberals out there that would love to take everyone's guns.
No,
they're out there.
There
are people to the extreme left that would love to take guns, and they're also coming. They sort of love the shootings too. To say, oh my God, now we got an excuse to take the guns. But I'm telling you, those are people on the fringe. That is not the Obama administration. It's not Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton has never said she wants to take your guns. Let's be clear of what they're saying, okay? Let's be clear of what has come out of President Barack Obama's mouth. This is what's come out. He wants to take people on the no-fly list, people who have been flagged. Of which, by the way, the no-fly list is, if I'm not mistaken, like 97%. People who have ties to the Middle East, okay?
Now there, I will say this about the no-fly list. It's not the magic bullet.
No,
that
there are two.
Some people
remember,
want to say it is because there are plenty of cases.
Remember, there's two different no-fly lists, Tommy.
Have been people that have brought their children, Ray, to an airport and been told,
okay, but
your
Tommy,
baby is on the no-fly
list. Now, let's be clear. There's two no-fly lists. There's the no-fly list that are created by the airlines of this person was an a-hole trying to check in. This person was rude on a flight. This person was too drunk. That's not the fly list he's talking about. And this is on Obama because he should explain it better. The fly list he's talking about is the one that has come up with from Homeland Security. It's the Homeland Security no-fly list, which is a surprising amount of guys named Abdul and Ahmed and Muhammad and Mahmoud and things of that nature. That's the fly list he's talking about. And I got to tell you what, I 100% agree with him. You know I'm pro-gun. You know that I believe, listen, I think it's very, very clear in the United States of America that they put that amendment out there. And the amendment says, as long as the United States government has guns, then its people have guns. I mean, if you really water it down to what they're, in essence, they're saying this, that because at one point in our country's history, our government was tyrannical, it was out of control, and we had to fight, and we had to, we had no choice but to protect ourselves from our own government. That's what was going on. And they said that we had the right to a militia, and we had the right to bear arms to keep that from ever happening again. Now, I don't think that's ever going to happen again. But the amendment is what it is. It's very clear in what it states. So therefore, if you follow the Second Amendment, okay, if you follow the Second Amendment, every weapon the United States has, the general public, the militia, have the right to have, all right? So, in essence, it could be argued that average citizens could have tanks. Average citizens can have nuclear weapons.
You can have tanks, Ray.
Average citizens could have machine guns. So, and there have been exceptions. We're not allowed to have machine guns.
You can get a license, you can take the course, you can jump through all the hoops, buy the tax stamp, and you can have a machine gun. It's going to cost you out the wazoo.
But we're not allowed to have, like, tanks with guns and all that stuff.
Well, you can have antique tanks. There are people that privately own World War II Sherman tanks.
They are demilitarized
cannons on the tank.
You can't buy the type of tank that I'm talking about. You know the tank. You can't buy nuclear weapons.
You can't buy the tank that I drove.
Yeah, that's all. You can't buy these things that our military uses. Okay, so there already are changes to the Second Amendment. Now, here's what I'm saying about automatic weapons. Okay. I'm fine with people having automatic weapons. I'm fine. Like, if you wanted to buy an AR-15, I'm fine with it.
Well,
in fact,
good.
I'm fine. You know, like I said, I'm fine with people being able to buy whatever gun they want. All right? I'd love to shoot an AR-15, by the way. I think that would be cool.
Well, you'll just have to let me know one of these days, Ray, when we'll have to do it for the show.
I'll have to go with you.
Away for the show. Yeah. And
I'll record it.
And get your reaction.
But I'm saying that, yeah, but here's the deal. I have no intention of hurting our country. There are people out there that do, and this is what makes me angry. The people making the argument that Obama's just trying to take our guns because he's trying to ban people on that no-fly list. My neighbor beat the hell out of his wife, and he got put on a list. Why should he not be able to get a gun? Well, for starters, he shouldn't be able to get a gun because he beat the hell out of his wife. He's got violent tendencies.
Domestic violence, I think, is a prerequisite here that will disqualify you in Illinois from having a FOID card.
My friend had too many drinks on a plane, and they said he can't fly anymore. Okay, that's a BS argument, because guess what? That's not the fly list he's talking about. We've already covered that. For people, the same people that are complaining about him wanting to take away those weapons are the same people that complain about the immigration, all right? Why do they not want the immigrants coming here, Tommy?
Well, basically, most of them is fear.
Yeah, but and the reason is, here's what they say. They go, like, we're going to let...
They're not like us,
we're
going to
send 30,000 people are going to come in. And we say, listen, they're vetted by the United Nations. These people are safe. And they go, what if one, if just one of them tries to commit a terrorist act, then we should block the whole lot of them. We have a guy running for president that's talking about taking anyone of a certain religion and not allowing them in the country for fear that just one of them could be a terrorist. So we got a president that's actually giving you what you want. He is saying, we are going to take people on the Homeland Security no-fly list, of which are, let's face it, 98% people from the Middle East, people with ties to ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and since Donald Trump has made it so popular, 98% of them are Muslim, all right? Muslim, so that people can understand. 98% of them are just that. And you got the president saying, we want to make it so that they can't buy, these AR-15s. He's specifically saying AR-15s. And we have people fighting again. I will go to my grave fighting for their right to buy a weapon. Now, you're afraid that you won't let someone come over from a country as a refugee because you're afraid that one of them, one out of 30,000, might do something bad. But you're telling me because there's a chance that your neighbor Fred, who beat the hell out of his wife a few months ago, might be on some list that you think everyone should be able to buy these weapons. Now, here's the problem. You have been lied to by an organization who only has one thing. They only have one thing that they care about, and that is an organization that works as a lobbyist group for the gun manufacturers. Let's get honest here. The NRA, I'm a pro-gun guy. I'm a pro-Second Amendment guy. I will never, ever belong to the NRA. Never. I've been pro-gun my whole life. I grew up in Macoupin County. I was shooting guns when I was 11 years old. I would never belong to the NRA because the NRA does not work for the people. The NRA is, they are employed. They are hired. They are a lobbyist group for gun manufacturers. All the NRA cares about is selling more guns. And they figured out in the last 30 years that the best way to do that is to sell fear and make everybody afraid and force them to buy weapons. And this whole fear that they are perpetrating with assault weapons is crazy. And I'm telling you, if they make us jump through one more hoop to get an AR-15, I'm willing to jump through it.
Well,
I'm willing to jump through the hoop if it means the next San Bernardino shooter or the next Orlando shooter, the next person won't be able to do it, then I'm all for it.
I am a member of the NRA. Now, the reason I am, for me personally, is because there are groups ran by Bloomberg, which is the Every Town for Gun Safety, the crazy Sharon Watts lady for Moms Who Demand Action.
Right.
And I believe that their lobbying group also needs a lobbying group to go against them. Because, let's face it, Sharon Watts doesn't think you should own any kind of weapon that shoots more than 10 rounds.
She's fringe. She's fringe.
She's fringe, but there's fringe on either side. So I've got to be, you know, in that middle saying, hey, if you guys are going to be crazy and you're going to be crazy,
I'm going to
stand right here in the middle and I'm going to let you guys go at it, but I'm going to use some realistic logic.
I'll be realistic. If we voted,
I'm in Illinois, Ray.
Tommy.
I have a FOID card. I understand background check.
I'm telling you, listen to me. Hold on a second. Listen to me. Listen to me. If they put it up for a vote, all right, if it went up for a vote, okay, and the United States, everybody in the United States had to vote whether they kept guns or whether they started taking guns away, that vote would end up at least 60%, 64% keep the guns. No one's voting to take guns away. It's a pipe dream. It's a pipe dream held by the same people that like to outlaw gas running cars, that would like to outlaw, electricity. It's the same people that want to save the tree. It's a very fringe group of people that have started this. The majority of people are fine with people having, with everyone having guns. In fact, they would, in the crisis situation,
they're going to come to somebody with a gun.
Yes, you want someone with a gun to be with you. If you go somewhere, like I have friends of mine who I know carry like everywhere, all right? You know, they carry everywhere. God forbid I'm ever anywhere and I see one of them and something bad starts going down, I'm going behind them. Because there are people that I know that, you know, are responsible guys that I just know that in the matter of a crisis, if they can get to it, they're going to use it and protect us and my family. You know what I mean? Just like if someone came into my house, I would protect my family.
That's your natural reaction.
Yes, and most people feel like I do. So there's no way.
I agree with
there's
that.
There's no way they're ever going to vote to change the Second Amendment. It's never going to happen. So
I agree with that.
The
Ray.
Reason I don't like the NRA
owning,
is they
owning an AR-15, Ray.
Yeah,
they are. President has already said today, talking to the National Security Council, he would like to reinstate the 1994. Assault weapons ban. I don't believe the rifle that I own, the AR-15, is an assault rifle. There are many variants of this. I don't believe just because you can add certain parts to that rifle when it was in 1994, you could take the very same rifle I own. What that ban back then said was you could not have an adjustable stock. You could not have a flash suppressor.
Yeah, they don't have that anymore.
You could not have a bayonet lug.
Yeah, we don't have that anymore.
Who's going to use a bayonet? Nobody.
Nobody.
So that wasn't going to stop anybody. That flash suppressor doesn't that I have on mine that's now legal, back when it was in 1994 it wasn't, doesn't keep people from finding me. It breaks it up the flash and has less kick. The adjustable stock isn't any different really than a normal stock, except it fits in a smaller case and allows for different size people to use it without having to cut the stock down. Otherwise, the weapon was the same besides the magazines. However, you could disable the magazine, the 20-round magazine or 10-round, whatever that sale was, and if I owned 30-round magazines before that, they were grandfathered. So, actually, it didn't really stop the sale of the AR-15. It just stopped the sale of the one that I have.
But, Tommy, I'm telling you right now, if they made it harder...
I don't care if they make it harder for crazy people to get them.
What, I don't see any problem with it. Why is the NRA fighting it? Why are people on the right fighting it? And why do they start fighting it seconds after an attack? That's what I find offensive. Even, like I said, even being pro-gun, I find it offensive that they start that immediately after any kind of mass shooting.
That I find it offensive that everybody starts that kind instead of taking the time to worry about the family.
But they start claiming, listen, people on the right start claiming that, oh, they're already on TV saying they're going to take our weapons. No, they're not. No. No one said it's time to start going into the people's homes and taking their weapons. They never said it. They never will. It is bull crap, and they know it's bull crap. They're once again manipulating because here's the deal. They love stupid people. They love manipulating stupid people, of which, I don't know if anyone knows this or not, but this country is filled with them. We are at an all-time record high for stupid people in this country. I don't know if you've noticed.
Which is why we should not have signs that say no swimming in gator-infested waters.
Once again,
we should let people take its course, Ray.
The proof is we have people that are so stupid, they're letting their child get into the gorilla cages, and they're letting their children go wading with alligators. I mean, that's how stupid we are. There's the proof. All right, and speaking of not being so smart, we get to the main portion of today's show, and that is... the man out there who once falsely claimed President Obama was born in Africa has now said he doesn't want anything misleading being said.
Misleading?
The man who has claimed some ridiculous things has says he doesn't want the Washington Post saying anything misleading, all right? Now,
Are we talking about the same guy who has a really good disposition?
Oh, yeah, that would never, like, get into a fight with an 18-year-old on Twitter. Or never, you know, that's who we're talking about. Yes, we're talking about the big orange pumpkin elephant in the room, Donald Trump, who the other day, let's face it.
Oh, by the way, he did have a birthday, Ray, so I didn't know. What is that? Is that Frito-Lay or who owns Cheetos now?
Yeah, it is. I don't know who owns Cheetos.
So, obviously, Frito-Lay and Cheetos is 70 years old. That's all I can...
70 years old is what Donald Trump is. All right, so here's the deal with Donald Trump. He has now banned the Washington Post from having...
press credentials.
Press credentials in his... Now, listen... That's not going to keep the Washington Post from reporting on him. But what it's going to do is it's a petty thing that you do when you just want to get under when you're petty and you want to get under somebody's skin. I want to point this out, all right? That in the past, we have had presidents and people running for president that had horrible things said about them. Horrible things. And they've never gone as far as to ban people from covering their campaign. President Obama, when running in 2008, didn't ban anybody who was running stories about him being born in Kenya. By the way, one of the people who ran one of those people was Donald Trump, who was saying that stuff over and over again. We didn't see President Bush ban people who during he was trying to get run re-election campaign in 2004. We didn't see him ban outlets that were running stories
About weapons of mass destruction not appearing,
and the lying, and Iraq. You know, there were the New York Times had a scathing article about him while he was running for re-election, saying that where are these weapons of mass destruction? He didn't ban them.
No, he just sent them hunting with Dick Cheney.
Yeah, President Clinton didn't ban anybody. The stuff they were saying about they called him a. There were articles that ran stories, and here's how they get away with it. They say there are people out there saying, that he has been he's been an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was sleeping with interns. I'm not saying that there weren't a couple
some
of these things that were true.
Happen, Ray. Right.
But I'm saying that he never banned them. He didn't say, listen, you're not allowed to give me you're not allowed to get campaign credentials anymore. No, he still gave them out. The only person in modern history that has been so petty that he's banned these people. And by the way, Fox News, Breitbart, I can name, I can name like 30 different conservative-based publications that have said flat-out lies about President Obama. Never banned any of them. He's never taken away their press credentials. Even when he was running for president, he didn't take away their press credentials. And by the way, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, like some of these guys have even allowed the National Enquirer to have press credentials. You know, even publications that are known for being false, they've let them have press credentials. The Onion was given press credentials before. I think Hillary Clinton, if I'm not mistaken, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders gave credentials to The Onion, which is a satirical publication, but they gave them press credentials so they can get pictures of them. Which, meanwhile, you got Donald Trump, who got mad because the Washington Post ran an article.
I wonder if the Chive has them.
Washington Post ran an article saying that they had heard a lunatic on Fox News implying that the president has, quote, something going on in regards to the Terrorist Act in this country. In fact, they implied that a guy named Donald Trump had said that he thought the president was up to something, okay? Now, for those of you that are defending Trump on this and saying, well, he has the right because they said that horrible thing about him, can we listen to the audio? Because this is something I'm not hearing being played. Can we listen to the audio of what Trump actually said that made the Washington Post write that headline in a blog that made Trump so angry that his panties got bunched up and he had to ban them from covering his campaign? Let's hear what he actually said.
What am I doing? I don't want congratulations. What I want them to do is be tough and vigilant. Our government, we're led by a man.
By the way, let me point out that this article, the story started with after the shooting, okay? After the shooting, this reprehensible human being, he went out and said, thank you for the congratulations. I thank you for the congratulations about how I predicted this. Okay, who the hell takes time during a terrorist attack with 50 people being dead to give themselves a pat on the back, a humble brag? I'll tell you who: Donald Trump. So they were asking him about that, and that's what he was talking about when he went into this, trying to change the subject.
What am I doing? I don't want congratulations. What I want them to do is be tough and vigilant. Our government, we're led by a man that is a very, look,
right.
We're led by a man that either is not tough, not smart, or he's got something else in mind. And the something else in mind, people can't believe it. People cannot believe that President Obama is acting the way he acts and can't even mention the words radical Islamic terrorism.
Okay, so let's go back to that. Maybe you're saying, well, he didn't say something going on. He said something else. Here's what he did. He did this thing that Donald Trump likes to do. He makes up imaginary people. Now, there's people out there that are saying this is a way to somehow distance himself from saying horrible things, which is what he's always done. Oh, there's people out there that are telling me right now the president was born in Kenya and they have proof. No, that's you saying that, Donald, just like this time. He said that the president is either stupid, okay, or the president is up to something with these Muslims, like he's some kind of secret, like he's in bed with them is what he's implying. Now, for those of you that said you didn't hear him saying something going on, please continue to listen.
There's something going on. It's inconceivable. Right. There's something going on.
Well, Donald Trump, what he did do yesterday...
Now, listen to this, by the way, because these are the people egging him on.
He did refer to it as a terror strike. He did say it was a hate crime.
He did, in fact, say it was an act of terror. In his speech, it was the first line of the second paragraph was him saying, this was an act of terror. This was an act of hate. That was the line. By the way, if you don't believe it, go to chubbyray.com. I put the actual transcript of his speech up on the page if you'd like to read it, okay?
Which makes sense because Islamic extremists hate gays and they hate Christians and they hate Jews and they hate women. So, you know, this is the first time we've seen something like this where they have so specifically targeted one particular demographic.
By the way, I love how he says he's mad at President Obama for calling it an act of hate. And then proceeds to say, these Muslims, they hate this, they hate that, they hate this, they hate that. Basically proving the president was right when he said it was an act of hate.
Ray, things don't apply to the Donald. When is this ever going to get through to you?
Well, I don't think it's the first time. I mean, they're looking at...
It's the first time they've hit a gay club in the United States.
Yeah, what he's done to the LGBT, I mean, what he's done to the whole gay community is so shocking. Now at least that community is going to come out. They have to be so strong and coming out and so vigilant. And what's going to happen with that community is I think you're going to at least have now some political pressure on our politicians to do the right thing.
Right.
Because that's a very large and very respected community. Yeah.
The gay community is not mad at President Obama. He gave them marriage.
And it's a very large, respected community. And I think you're going to see tremendous pressure now on these weak politicians that don't know what they're doing, like our president. The man has no clue. He doesn't know what he's doing, and Hillary Clinton is going to be worse than him. She wants to increase people coming into our country from the areas I'm talking about by 500%.
Once again, this guy was born in the United States. He's not even from another country.
Brian.
All right, so there you go. There's Donald Trump implying... the Washington Post claimed that he was implying the president, and I don't have the exact headline, but they were basically saying that Donald Trump calls President Obama as being, connected to the terrorists somehow.
Of course the gay community is going to be strong on coming out on this. They are the people that know the most about being strong and having to come out.
I'll tell you, this is what gets me with Trump. He goes out there and he claims, he basically said... Something was going on. The president is up to something with these people. And then he claims and says, I didn't say that. And his defense is always the same defense that stupid people fall for, which is him going, well, I have heard from other people. And so somehow he's trying to separate himself from it. Now, this is what I love that happened this week. And it's the first time someone has called him on his bull. And that someone is the president of the United States. And I don't know if you heard this, because Tommy, you're probably working during the day, but President Obama came out, called a last second like press conference, walked out and started talking about this. And I want to play a little bit of this for you, because Donald, of course, like everybody else, is saying he doesn't say the words radical Islamic terrorist. By the way, do we really need to say that? I mean, come on. So here's what Obama says.
For a while now, the main contribution of some of my friends on the other side of the aisle have made in the fight against ISIL is to criticize this administration and me for not using the phrase radical Islam. That's the key, they tell us. We can't beat ISIL unless we call them radical Islamists. What exactly would using this label accomplish? Would it make ISIL less committed to trying to kill Americans? Would it bring in more allies? Is there a military strategy that is served by this? The answer is none of the above. Not once has an advisor of mine said, man, if we really use that phrase, we're going to turn this whole thing around. Groups like ISIL and Al-Qaeda want to make this war a war between Islam and America. They want us to validate them by implying that they speak for Islam. That's their propaganda. That's how they recruit. And if we fall into the trap of painting all Muslims with a broad brush and imply that we are at war with an entire religion, then we are doing the terrorist work for them.
I'm telling you, there's never been a sentence the president has uttered that is more true than that. The reason they want to say radical Islam is only for one reason, because that furthers their narrative and it makes these people who have said much worse, and they think much worse, it validates their opinion. That's Fox News constantly talks about this. Donald Trump talks about this. So many people on the right talk about the president, once again, did not call them radical Islamic. He didn't say the word, we're at war with radical Islam. And you heard the president, by the way, he just said the words radical Islam. But you heard the president say, what the hell is that going to do? That's not going to accomplish anything. It doesn't matter if he says we're at war with radical Islam, except for one thing. It's going to turn every single person who is not radicalized, it's going to make them angry, because they're going to go, you know, wait a minute. Why do you have to name our whole religion? Would you want someone, another country we're at war with, saying, you know, we have to stop the radical Christians of the United States? If someone were to say, we've got to stop the radical Christians from the United States.
I have been saying that's right.
Well, you know what I mean. Do you think that every Christian can separate themselves from that? You want to know what they'll do? They'll get offended and say, how dare you call us radical? That's what they do. People who aren't radicalized, I watch different kinds of news, Ray.
And I don't think that if you drop it every now and then to appease a large section, and believe me, there is a large section that believes we're at war with radical.
It's not jihadists. About that, but it's
now,
not, all right.
I don't see any problem with saying jihadist.
He has said that. He has said that. He says we're at war with radical jihadists over and over again. That's what he says. What they want is him to use the word Islam or Muslim, and he's not going to do it. He refuses to do it, and he won't do it, because I'm telling you, Tommy, if someone was out there saying we need to stop the radical Christians in the United States, every single person who's a Christian would be angry and say, how dare you call me radicalized? Because let's face it, the United States does have, in fact, have some radical Christians. It's very few.
They bomb abortion clinics,
yeah, but
of course.
It's very, I mean, the numbers, very, very small. Very small. Now, we can admit the number of radical Muslims or radical Islamists is much more than radical Christians who want to bomb abortion clinics. However, to stay with the argument, if all of a sudden other countries started saying, we're afraid of those, we want to stop those radical Christians, every Christian in America would be offended, saying, how dare they call us radicalized? We're not. That's what happens when the president of the United States starts saying, we are at war with radical Islam, we're at war with radical Muslims, every single Muslim starts to get offended. And if you want to know how they feel, actually have a conversation with someone who is Muslim. I have friends who are Muslim, and it is offensive to them, because they don't think a handful of people, much like as Christians, we don't feel a couple of a-holes who want to blow up abortion clinics represent our entire religion, okay? They're the same way. They don't want it to be thought that a handful, the radical element of their religion represents all of them. It's offensive to them. It is an affront to their religion, and it is an insult to them personally.
Where was the outrage, though, Ray, when Bush used to say Islamofascism or Islamic fascist? I used to think that was more enraging than saying radical Islam, because I figure if you're saying radical,
yeah, and you want to know, you want to know what that led to?
Group.
You want to know what that led to? It led to ISIS. It led to so many of them being angry that we now have ISIS. You know, the thing that started this is the Gulf War.
Growing up with drones over your head, but
listen,
you know, that's just me.
Tommy, no, this started with the war you were in, okay? And my brother was in. This started with the original Gulf War, with the original President Bush, and they got angry that we were over there, and it just keeps festering. And when we were when we talk about Islam, we get more people that are just part of a religion that it get angry about it. It hasn't worked, and part of the thing that hasn't worked was President Bush using, and President Bush knows it. In fact, he has said it now that it wouldn't do any good to call it that because he saw it himself. He saw it happen, and it's bad politics. But it's bad everything, all right? It's just bad everything. I was going to say, it's good politics for people like Trump to try to fool stupid people. However, it's bad politics in its cheap politics. And I'll tell you, it's really bad governing. The President of the United States does not declare war on a religion. Any country, by the way, any country who is built upon
freedom
of religion does not single out any religion as being worse than any other one. And there are people out there that won't rest because they have been fooled into thinking that's some kind of patriotic thing to do. It's disgusting. Hey, we're almost done. We got to move on to local stuff, okay? We've got to move on to the local things, Tommy, because...
Well, let's get to it, Ray.
Because I'll tell you, it is...
There's plenty going on, craziness in our own little small sphere of Illinois.
I've got bad news for people who live in Chatham, Jerome...
Oh, no.
Let's see, Grandview, Sherman,
Pleasant
Plains, Rochester, anyone who lives outside of the city of Springfield, I have bad news for you. These people are going to get their way, and they are going to get this residency requirement.
You mean isolationism is coming to Springfield?
Yes, yes. We're just like... Just like some other entities, they won't rest until they get their way on this. They want some type of residency requirement for everyone working for the city of Springfield. They want it. They want it, and they will not stop until they get it. I don't know if you noticed this week, but there were more people coming forward behind this thing.
So if they can't get it by making Springfield a nicer place to live, they're going to do it by force.
Yeah. And it's,
huh,
by the way, it's so
ridiculous.
The argument is so ridiculous, okay, that it is very ridiculous that they do this, and I'll tell you why. You mean to tell me somebody who works in, like, or somebody who lives in Jerome, okay? Someone who lives in Jerome wakes up every day, they go to work, say they work for the city. They'll buy lunch in Springfield. They buy gas in Springfield. So many things, so much money that they spend is taxed out. They'll buy gasoline. It all goes to the city of Springfield, into their tax coffers, okay? The sales tax goes into Springfield's pockets, everything. The biggest argument they have for this is they say that people who live in the city pay taxes. Well, you don't have to live in the city to pay Springfield taxes. I live in Chatham. I buy so many things in Springfield. Every time I go shopping, I'm giving Springfield money with the sales tax.
Well,
now listen.
I stopped trying to do that when Gail Simpson said that she was sure that the people from Chatham, Springfield, Rochester, or Sherman and Rochester were nice folks, but they couldn't do nothing for her. So we needed a residency rule because
they can't vote for her. Which, by the way, this is the city of Springfield riling up people again. Politics is no longer become about doing good for communities and for people.
They don't want nepotism, Ray.
Politics,
they want transparency.
Yeah.
But why would you want employees who are beholden to you? They're upset because they can't make people that don't vote for them walk for them. So they can't give these jobs away to their political friends.
Well, the people now involved is the Faith Coalition for Common Good has come out saying that they support the city residency ordinance. In other words, the people that want this residency ordinance, they have now gotten into the heads of other people, and they're coming up with just ridiculous reasons why they have to have it. I don't understand. Now, don't get me wrong. I have heard stories of people who work for, like, one department, and they live all the way in, like, Champaign. or Bloomington. I don't know why you'd want to do that. That just seems like such a long drive.
Now, some of these people, I have to say, because there was a couple of people that were on the list that that did live in Chicago.
Yeah.
However, they rented a studio apartment Monday through Friday.
Here's the thing. As long as they show up to work every day, as long as they do their job, I don't care where. They could live on the moon for all I care. I don't understand the residency requirement, but I'm telling you, people, when I saw this stuff this week, and I've talked to some of the aldermen, and there are some aldermen I know who are against it, but they're just to the point to where they're like, exasperated and saying, you know what, screw it. Let's get on to other things because this residency requirement keeps coming up. The mayor's behind it. There are aldermen who are vocally behind it. You've got different groups that are behind it. This residency requirement thing is going to pass. And I'm telling you, they keep talking about we're going to grandfather in this, we're going to grandfather in that. I'm warning you right now. I am warning you right now that won't be enough for these people. Grandfathering in people who currently work for the city of Springfield. Grandfathering them in will be challenged, and it will be within 2 years of this city ordinance being passed that they start saying, hey, we need to get people who were living out of the city when we pass this rule. We've got to give them 6 months to get into the city or they're going to lose their jobs. I'm telling you, it's that, going
they,
to happen.
They may try that,
write it down.
But it's like every other lawsuit that the city finds themselves in. You actually have better odds beating the city of Springfield in the lawsuit than you do winning the lottery.
Well, I'm telling you, mark my words, that's what
they
they'll
will
come
be
for
paying
next.
Out the yin yang, I guarantee
they'll,
that if they try
they're
that.
They're going to do it next. This is just the first step. So if you work for the city of Springfield and you don't live in Springfield City, you know, you might be, the house next to you could be in Springfield. You live in Jerome. The house next to you or Grandview or something could be a Springfield house and you're in a different area.
Oh, the mayor's also said he wants to close up them donut holes. He doesn't want Grandview. He doesn't want Southern View.
Yeah. Well, maybe you'll need
to swallow those up.
If you work for the city, then maybe you'll put some pressure on those places to be annexed because the only other thing is to sell your house.
Okay, let's say,
somehow
I do know this for
in.
A fact, Ray.
Yeah.
We have Sherman police officers that are residents of the city of Springfield.
Yeah.
What if all these small towns, which is going to be a small number of employees, granted, decide to turn around and say, you know what? You guys want us to help you with your tourism and all that? Well, we're going to have a residency rule. Those people that live in Springfield that work for us, now we got to have, if you live in Chatham, you got to, if you work for Chatham, you got to live in Chatham. Plus, we're not going to put up any signs that say visit these sites.
Yeah. I'm just saying that it's going to happen. You look at it, it's going.
Well, of course.
They win this battle, if they win the battle and they get the residency requirement that they want, they're not going to stop. That'll be step one, and they'll go after other things.
They want all the state jobs. This big state that we have, they want people from Southern Illinois to have to drive up to do all their business in Springfield. They want every department. They don't want anything shared because Springfield doesn't have anything besides government and tourism and service. They've given up. I mean, we have major interstates that roll through here. We're right in the middle of two major interstates. We don't have any factories left.
The city of Springfield has made a lot of bad decisions in its history. In hundreds of years, it's made some horrible decisions.
We should be a transportation hub as well. The next horrible
decision will be passing this residency requirement, and they are going to pass it, mark my words, and it's just step one. They're also going to go after anybody. They're going to force people to retire early. They're going to make their lives a living hell. They're going to try to get even the people grandfathered in. They're going to get rid of the grandfathering. Mark my words. I'm telling
you. Wait, I've got 6 years left. You don't think I ain't already thinking about this?
Well, yeah, you work for the city. Yeah, you know, we don't talk about that. But, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. They're going to come after guys like you. All right, and we don't have time to talk about this now. We'll talk about it next week, I promise. By the way, show's going to be going twice a week at some point soon. Not yet. We're getting there. I want to thank everybody who downloaded last week's show. The numbers were astounding, by the way.
I heard that, and I am
it
just
It was
pleased.
Astounding.
I love being able to talk about this stuff. We always had a great time doing it, and I'm glad that it's taken off again.
The Ray Lytle Show is back once a week now. Like I said, it'll move to more than once a week. starting very, very soon. Tell your friends about it. Share it with us. Hey, if you disagree with us, that's totally cool. You are more than I'm fine with you disagreeing with us. If you are angry at something that I said or something Tommy said and you want to talk to us about it, send us a message. We'll actually get you on the show when we record the next one, and eventually we'll start streaming this live. As of now, the Ray Lytle Show podcast will be coming out weekly. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with another episode. Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you, Ray.
So long, everybody. Remember, SpringfieldTalk.com. Share this episode with your friends, and have everyone listen to the Ray Lytle Show podcast. So long.